You're listening to Comics with Kenobi.
It is episode number 86, and we are not a week delayed. Even if we're saying we're going to be out today, we're out today because we're not a week delayed. Because, you know, we're not comics. We're Comics with Kenobi. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Matt. I sense some perturbation, if that's even a word, perturbedness on your part about maybe a week's delay that we're experiencing in the comics world.
Yeah, it's kind of inexplicable because, you know, as you will recall, dear listeners, last week's episode had a great interview with James Gallarte, who was doing the lead story and still is doing the lead story in what is now this week's Star Wars Adventures number 15, because initially it was slotted to come out October 24th. You know, it was even on comic list for there. You know, we had it on the solicits and on the IDW information. And then, lo and behold, new comic book day, and it's not on the shelves. It's not on Comixology, and it turned out it got pushed back by a week.
But they forgot to tell anybody, I guess.
Yeah, actually they did. So, you know, because, you know, we ran the preview of it on coffeewithkenobi.com on Tuesday the 23rd. You know, we had the interview with Gallarte on the podcast that came out Tuesday, October 23rd. So we're just, you know, well ahead, I guess, if you will.
People so, understand why print. People wonder why print is dying.
Well, you know, it's who knows. I my comic book shops did not have the book in stock. You know, a lot of people I talked to around the country, I said, "Hey, did you see it in your shop?" They said no. However, apparently there were a couple of shops in San Diego, where IDW is based, that did actually have it on the shelf. So maybe they overlooked a message or something. But so yeah, definitely, you know, Star Wars Adventures number 15 will be out on October 31st. So, but not us. We'll be out on October 30th, just like we are every Tuesday weekly, even on holidays.
Absolutely.
Gotta love that kind of dedication and commitment. So yeah, there you go.
All right. So That was some big news. Do we have any other news, or do we need to jump right into our reviews?
Well, you know, this is kind of tangentially comic book news, but you know, if you you know, listen to the Coffee with Kenobi family of podcasts, you will know that there is an excellent one called Lattes with Leia that is co-hosted by Dr. Andrea Letamendi and of course, Amy Ratcliffe. And Amy Ratcliffe has this great new book out. You can get it now. It's called Women of the Galaxy. And heartily recommend this one. It is, as the title implies, about the women in the Star Wars galaxy. Not all the women, but a whole lot of women. And there are, I was pleased to see that she included some pretty significant comic book figures, including Dr. Aphra.
How could you not?
Sana Staros.
How could you not?
Queen Trios. And Yvonne Verlaine from all the way back in the Princess Leia miniseries that Mark Waid wrote back in 2015.
Oh, wow.
It's just, it's a great book. It is so much fun. And done by an assortment of artists. Of course, you know, show favorite Elsa Charretier has, she illustrated Yvonne Verlaine, and she illustrated Dr. Aphra, and they're just amazing works. So definitely check this one out. It is worthy of space on your shelf. Some solidly written and reported material by Amy, and the artwork by this, like I said, it's too numerous to mention all the artists here on the podcast, but just wonderful, wonderfully done artwork. And again, just the breadth of the characters. I mean, it goes from Shmi Skywalker to Cammy from A New Hope. Do you remember her? You know, she was the one that
the
was popping around. Yeah, so even she's in it, and it's just so much fun. I really, really enjoyed it a whole lot.
Excellent.
And
excellent.
I think you will, too. So other than that, there's really not been any news, per se. Just, you know, comics have been chugging along, and frankly, I'm kind of glad there isn't any news, considering, you know, the Star Wars comics we had in the past week, you know, especially with Dr. Aphra number 25, and, of course, Star Wars Adventures Tales from Vader's Castle, number 4.
And why don't we start with that book when we start our reviews, and we'll end up with Dr. Aphra, which is, we'll talk about it. Just wow. Tales from Vader's Castle, issue number 4, concerns Ewoks, and we saw that great creepy cover with the Ewoks with the glowing eyes, and this large figure in the background, hovering in the background on the cover, that's wearing earrings. I didn't even notice the earrings the first time I read through the book.
Yeah, it's the Gorax.
It is the Gorax, and this is one of the few that I think I may like the alternate cover better than the main cover.
You're right.
Yeah, the Gorax, it looks like a horror poster, like a horror movie poster.
It very much does. It's just, that is so good.
I would love to have a print of that. That it's that cool. It's just, Gorax is so menacing in the background, and those two tiny Ewoks walking around in front of it.
I was looking at my comic book shop today, actually, and you're right. It was, because it really stood out. And of course, that cover is by Robert Hack with colors by Charlie Kirchhoff. And the other cover, of course, is by Francesco Francavilla. And, that one in and of itself is pretty creepy as well, with all the red-eyed murder bears.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and of course, you could also get that cover in black and white, as you can all these covers. So, again, solid issue, I thought. This one is written by Kevin Scott. The artists are Derek Charm, who does, sort of the current, We Are Here Now. And then Robert Hack does the flashback. Charlie Kirchhoff is the colorist on Robert Hack's work. Derek Charm, again, he did all his own work, so he did the art and the colors. Letters are by Robbie Robbins. Assistant editor is Elizabeth Bry, and editor is Denton J. Tipton. And, of course, we start back where we left off, on the planet Mustafar in Vader's castle. And Linograph and Crater have heard a shocking, and they are escorted by G3 as they run down the hallway to see, by the stars, what was that, says Crater. Come on, says Lina. And then
they're trying to find Lieutenant Hud, who, if you recall last time, found what he thought was some loot and is apparently met with an untimely demise.
Unfortunately, it seems that way, does it not?
Yeah, because Lena says, great, now we need to find him as well as a new ship. Because if you recall, they're stuck on Vader's castle in Mustafar. They don't know it's Vader's castle. They're trying to find a way out because their ship has melted into the lava. And I love that.
Bummer.
Yeah. And I love that Crater, he looks around, he says, I'm sure these suits weren't here a minute ago. And so Lena sends him off with G3, she sends Skrit off with G3, which I think is a good combination because G3 is so imposing that Skrit might feel a little safer, and she takes Crater with her. And I love this, G3 and Skrit could make for a great odd couple combo.
Oh, they could, couldn't they?
And Skrit is, of course, terrified, and so G3 says, well, why don't I tell you a story? You're confusing size for courage. Perhaps a story would help you overcome your fear. And Skrit says, actually, no, I don't think it would. Not after the last one, because if you recall the last one, they tried to tell him to try to calm Skrit down and just made things worse. And I love G3's response. Nonsense. A rousing tale is just what the med droid ordered. And from here, we cut to Endor. And the art here is maybe my favorite in this series that we've had so far. I think this is just stunning.
This is pure Robert Hack.
It's very sketch-like, but it's crisp, and I just love it. It looks very organic.
It does, doesn't it? It looks like something you could see Robert Hack just sitting down with a sketch pad,
right?
Sketching it out and then sort of refining it. And then Charlie Kirchhoff's colors here are they're not overpowering, but they're not too muted at the same time either.
Right, they're perfect, and the use of color is so important in this story. I'm just blown away by this entire story. And I love that it's translated from Ewokese. And it dawned on me that this indicates that G3 was aware, or somebody at least was aware, of the forest moon of Endor prior to the Return of the Jedi. And yet nobody knows what an Ewok is when they get there.
Well, just, maybe that's the case. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe just a certain group of rebels weren't aware that it was still habited by Ewoks.
Perhaps, maybe not. And I love that we get a young Chief Chirpa. He's just Chirpa. He's not Chief Chirpa here.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a nice nod, I think.
And there's so many great references in this story to the Ewok movie and to the cartoon, because we meet the Duloks later on.
Ah, yes.
And I thought it was outstanding, because they these two Chirpa and Raleigh are out, I guess, scouting, or they're hunting. They're hunting for
they're on their hunt.
What is it? What are they kind of? What kind of boar is it? What do they call it?
Just the boro.
Okay.
That's
boar wolf is what they're calling it. Yeah. They're blowing their horn in this boar wolf, and they're riding it. And I love this because he's the Ewok is trying to steer him by pulling on his nostrils, which just made me laugh. But this thing is just it's huge. And they end up catching it, and they kill it, and they're taking it back to the village. But the village is the Shining Tree Village, as we learned that it was called in the cartoon. Or Bright Tree Village, sorry, not Shining, Bright Tree Village, is sort of empty. It's desolate.
It's like everyone's gone.
Yeah. And they find his father... Chief Buzza and Makreet is the medicine man.
Yes.
At this point, Lo Grey is his apprentice, who we meet in Return of the Jedi, and so they tell them that Walklings have disappeared, taken from their blankets as they slept, go ahead.
Taken? Are you sure? Well, it has to be Duloks up to their old tricks.
That's where I got really excited. I was like, yes, Duloks. We're getting Duloks. Awesome. I love it.
Any nod to Caravan of Courage into the Ewok comics, I am all for. yes. And of course, as I say, you're right, Riley, and we will have our revenge. The Duloks have crossed us for the last time. So, and this is pretty cool because, we're seeing the inner workings of Ewok society again. And the one thing I like that the way Cavan has written this book is, it's not right. He's not written the Ewoks as, for lack of a better term, entertainment. He's written them as fleshed out characters.
Yeah, they have a civilization.
Part of a wider community.
And they have a society. And they have an understanding of war.
Mm-hmm.
Which we knew that they did because, in Return of the Jedi, they were very well versed in warfare. And I think this, their war with the Duloks and with the Gorax might play into that. And so this panel where Makreet uses his glowy eye power to he says, Buzza, listen to me, not this way, is just creepy. And then we pull out and we see in this panel where his eyes are just red. Chief Buzza's eyes are red, so he's in his thrall, much like you have with Dracula.
Yes.
And so he, Chief Buzza, of course, says, of course, you're right. Maybe the Walklings wandered off by themselves. We will look for them at first dawn. And he says, an excellent choice, Chief Buzza. And so immediately you're thinking, okay, something's not right here. And this is where we do meet Lo Grey. And I love this because Lo Grey basically says, not this time, he's not right. And one of the guys says, Lo Grey, how can you say that? You're his apprentice. And Lo Grey says, but that doesn't mean I always have to agree with him, which I love. And then from there, we go to the next page. And this is where the art just really pops for me.
It's so creepy.
And you're going through the swamp. You've got the red sky and everything else is just kind of washed out.
It's all, washed out in sort of these pale hues of blue. And, they could have easily gone full color here. But I think that would have taken away from the atmosphere.
Absolutely. Love this. It's perfect. It was a perfect choice. And from here on out, everything, all of the artistic choices are perfect. And so, they're tracking. And they find, they think it might be Condor Dragons, which I don't remember from the cartoons or the movie, but I'm sure they exist. And they find these tracks that are huge. They're the size of probably 10 Ewoks. They say it looks like some kind of monster. And we have something jumping out at them, and we see, it's very shadowy in this one page, and then the next page it's a Duloc. And the Duloks, in the cartoon and the comics, they were sort of bumbling villains.
Yeah.
This one, they look straight up evil. I mean, although the second panel on that page, he does look a little bit like a deranged rabbit.
He does. But it's clear that, this is where the all-ages aspects comes in. I mean... it's scary enough, I think, the way they've portrayed the Duloks, that younger readers will be scared.
Right.
But it's also for older readers. It's a shout out. Look, we understand you're a little older. You have a little bit more panache And so, you know, we're not going to go full on, you know, Warner Brothers cartoon crazy here.
And so that,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I agree wholeheartedly. And so the Duloks say that they're, you know, they're all must be sacrificed. You'll all be sacrificed. And they find out that he all of a sudden his eyes go red. And one says, why isn't he moving? He says he's caught in the light of the Sun Star. His feeble Dulok mind is powerless to resist. And Makrit has showed up, or Makrit, however you want to pronounce it. And he's been following them. And he says, the Duloks are the enemy after all. May their fur be blighted. And this is where they find out a great one came, destroyed the village, destroyed them all. Offering must be made beyond the Salma Sands at the foot of Mount Krana. They say, well, then that's where we must go. And so they head off for this thing, and they come upon, and I love this, we've wasted enough time in this dump, there are Walklings to save. And so they come upon this giant Ewok shrine.
Yeah, it's like a Trojan Ewok.
Yeah.
But you know, it also reminded me of that scene from, what was it, Darth Vader annual number, no, maybe it was the last issue of Darth Vader. Remember where they had the return to Tatooine, you know, with the sand people?
Yes.
And they were telling the story
the
of Anakin.
Story. Yeah, that backup story that they had. Yeah. That was, I thought that was in one of the, maybe it was a Darth Vader book. I remember, I think it was an annual though.
No, it was, you know what? It was in Star Wars 37. It was in Jason Aaron's last issue on the run.
Okay.
That's the one it was in.
Yeah. Not creepy at all. And, so they find all the Walklings in there, and the other two Ewoks go in to try to undo them, and all of a sudden Makrit locks them in, and they say, well, what are you doing? He says, well, what do you think? As if a few mangy pups would be enough, I needed something more. I needed the chief's son, the perfect sacrifice. And just in time, behold, he approaches, and here's where a Gorax, we've been calling it the Gorax, but apparently there's more than one, which I had my questions about it, because in the Ewok movie, they were, you know, they acted like they had never fought him before. And so he's...
Yeah, it was like mythical.
Yeah, he's called the Great Devourer. And this thing is just scary as hell.
Isn't he, though?
He's got a skull bandolier on. And his fingernails and his toenails are all just huge and long. And he's just covered in hair.
And he's not really known. Clearly, he's not into personal grooming at all.
Not at all. And one of them says, what is that? And Chirpa says it's a Gorax. Or no, Logre says it's a Gorax, and a hungry one at that. And so for some reason, Makrit didn't think to take their axes away from them.
Yay!
But that doesn't work, because he says, we haven't got time for that. The Borahorn, what good will that do? And he starts blowing it. I said, oh, I think I know, and right here is where I got it. I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
He says, I just hope they have boar wolves in the plane. So by the sound of it, it won't be a problem. So all these boar wolves show up and just destroy the shrine.
Well, yeah, they run roughshod over it. I mean, you know, it's a thundering herd.
And they all hitch a ride on these things and just beat a retreat, a hasty retreat. They leave Makrit behind, and he's saying, you don't understand the sacrifice. It still needs to be made. And then we have, and it was, and he turns around, and just the look on this Ewok's face. I don't know how you draw that kind of terror on the face of that's covered in fur.
Oh, wow.
This is just wonderful.
This is coming.
And then the shot, the camera angles from inside the maw of the Gorax.
Isn't that great?
It is chilling. It's amazing. I love this. This team should be writing this book all the time. Like you said, Murder Bears, the Star Wars Murder Bears book.
Well, here's the thing, and here's the wonderful thing about Robert Hack, is, you know, you know, he
that
is
never known... never was a name less fitting.
That. He is, wow, he's known for his work. You know, he's done Doctor Who comics, and he's always had such this inimitable style. But then, you know, he also has done, you know, like the, you know, when Archie sort of relaunched, it's, you know, in the last couple of years with its great horror titles.
Oh, the Afterlife with Archie or whatever it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So he has been doing some of that work.
That explains it.
So that's why you know it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's just.
That was such a weird mashup series and idea, but it worked so well.
It does, though. You know, it's one of my favorites, actually. And he's also been doing the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the TV version of which just
dropped on Netflix. I need to start watching it. A friend of mine already started it and said it was amazing.
Oh, it is astonishingly good.
Looks outstanding.
It is crazy nuts good. So I was blown away by it. As a matter of fact, I worked from home on Friday, and I was splitting my time for my my side glance entertainment between the Haunting of Hill House and
I've also heard is wonderful, but I've just been too chicken to start it yet.
Oh yeah. Let's put it this way. I'm not watching that at night.
Okay,
I'm only watching it during the day when there's plenty of light everywhere.
Good to know.
So that's why having Robert do this flashback was perfect.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, this is probably the best work I've seen in the Star Wars Adventures books yet. I just was blown away by this, and I didn't even want it to be over. We went back to the main story, and I was like, oh no, we're done. But it actually worked out because it cracked me up because Skrit's first line is, seriously, everyone needs to stop telling me stories. At this rate, I'm never going to sleep again.
Well, and it's a good story. And it just I got to dove back to Robert Hack here, you know, because he does Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I mean, he's a co-creator of that book. But, you know, he does a lot of covers for other publishers. So it's nice to see him doing the Star Wars work. And here's the thing. I would like to see him do more Star Wars work.
I would like to see him do all the work. I loved it. Yes, I want more Star Wars. I want more Star Wars horror, and I want more Star Wars with Robert Hack. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like you said, we jump back, you know, to the present when we are back on Mustafar in Vader's castle. And look, it's Darth Vader's butler.
At first, I thought it was Darth Vader, though, because I like the way they did the outline. His silhouette looks vaguely like Darth Vader. But it's Vani, his butler, his valet. He's Darth Valet.
Nice little Darth Valet. Nice little throwback to Rogue One. That's a good call. I like that. That was very impressive. Nice throwback callback. I'm trying to say to Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So you know, we get to see him at least a little bit of action. You know, right. And he's letting Vader know the spy droids have identified rebel forces within the castle. No, it is just an Imperial worm. Master, they have found me. Tell me what the Empire is doing here, or I will open fire, G3 says. I would like to see you try, Metal Man. And he lifts him up. So,
well, is he doing that, or is Vader doing that?
Well, let's turn the...
Yeah, he says, wait, how are you doing this? He says, me? You think this is me? It is my master. You've invoked his wrath. And then, yeah, the next page, G3 meets a very...
untimely demise.
Yeah.
Did you have to remember?
Compute.
I don't think they know that this is Darth Vader's castle.
They don't. Yeah, not at all.
So, you know, so as far as G3, and of course, you know, poor Chris.
I know. He's just losing. I love that close up of him just terrified.
And Derek Charm just nails that because he's just like, ah!
Wonderful. And I love the next frame. It almost looks like Vani is foaming at the mouth.
It does,
he's
doesn't
drooling.
He?
Yeah, he's got those crazy eyes. It's great. Again, I'm always amazed at artists that can portray that any kind of emotion because, you know, I'm not good at it. And when they do it, and when they do it so perfectly, and it looks so effortless, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, you're looking at that panel of Andy, and all I can think of is he's just brimming with anticipation.
Right.
So.
So we come back to Lena and Crater, and they are still trying to find HUD. And then Skrit calls to them, and he says, Skrit, you made me jump out of my skin. It's G3. He ripped apart. It's no good. Skrit, it's no good. He's gone. You stay here, Crater. He says, stay here in the gloomy Imperial Corridor? Oh, that sounds like such a good idea. Don't worry about me. I'm just a droid after all. Oh, no, and I love that he goes from his normal color to he turns all red from... What we find out later is the light of a red lightsaber, the glow of a red lightsaber, and all that whoosh. And then we have this Vader just standing over him, Mr. Selena, help me. And that's terrifying.
And now they're going to realize, they're going to find out where they are and whose house that they've broken into.
And the cover for the next issue is wonderful.
It is, isn't it? That's
with the shuttle leaving Vader's castle.
Oh man, that's gonna be a good one.
Hate having to wait even a week to get this. This was such a fun issue.
It was. This whole series has been great fun.
It was a great idea, and it's like I said, it's a good way to sort of expand the Star Wars mythos a little bit, because it gives us a new on things. We don't get a
it
lot
does.
Of horror.
No, we don't. Yeah, and yeah, we got the Screaming Citadel, which was, you know, it wasn't bad, but it was a little too gothic horror-y, I thought, for Star Wars. But you know, it was more space vampire than anything. This one is just genuine suspense and terror.
It is. It's so much fun. It's so well done. It's not going to keep you awake at night unless you have a thing about glowing red eyed Ewoks, which I'm sure somebody out there does.
Murder bears. Yeah, but you're right, though. You know, it does make you think. And you know what really makes you think?
What's that?
The last issue of Dr. Aphra, number 25.
Now, you say the last issue.
Well, just I'm saying the last issue, not the final issue.
Thank
Don't
you.
Worry. It's not being canceled.
The most recent issue.
Okay, let's say that. The most recent issue of Dr.
Okay,
Aphra, issue number 25.
Let's take a short break, and we'll come back and discuss that, shall we?
We're going to have to, because there is so much to unpack.
Yes, unpack is a good word. So much to unpack, Dr. Aphra, number 25. And you know, you said the last issue, and for a second I was like, wait, this can't be. There's no way this can be the last issue. This is a longer than usual issue.
It's oversized.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, it had to be, because good Lord.
This is straight up Greek tragedy. This whole story is just wonderful. Starting with this cover, this amazing cover with Aphra wielding a lightsaber and Vader's silhouette on the ground behind her. This just blew my mind, and I love the destroyed astromech droid around her. So something has happened, and something is about to happen from this,
and it's
a very kinetic cover.
And look at the shadow. Have you not noticed what the shadow is?
It's Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Look at the shadow, though. Does it remind you of anything?
What should I be seeing?
Do you remember the first promo poster for the Phantom Menace?
Oh, for the Phantom Menace, yeah, with Anakin standing in front of the hut and Vader's shadow behind him.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, so much better than the movie that it was promoting, too.
You're out of the band.
It gave me so much hope.
You're out of the band.
Okay.
You may not even be a roadie anymore.
I'll be the manager then.
Okay, well, there's more money
agent. Right, exactly.
All right. Well, again, that cover is by Ashley Witter, who has just been knocking these Aphra covers out of the park since she started. So, yeah, Catastrophe Con Part 6, written by Simon Spurrier, pencils by Kev Walker, inks by Mark Deering, colors by Jabba Tartaglia, letters by VC's Joe Caramagna.
Caramagna!
Viva Caramagna. Assistant editor Tom Groneman, editor Martin. And then, of course, a very special thanks to Kieran Gillen. This is a solo writing credit for Psy. Glad to see it. And, wow. This, every element of this, I mean, this is how you end a story arc. This is how you end a story arc and set it up for the next arc. And it just opens up with a bang, because we are on a Kresker jail. And, you know, Aphra is describing, you know, describing Darth Vader. He won't stop. You have to understand that. He won't tire. He won't forgive. He won't forget. He doesn't know how. And we see that laid out, because Vader is just slicing through these denizens on a Kresker jail.
Yeah, I love it. He's using both hands. He's killing people with both hands.
Left and right. Because, you know, and this is Aphra, you know, talking to Tolvin. And that's where we cut to the next page. And she goes, you know. And this is where we see Aphra take hold, grasp tightly all of her moral shortcomings, and actually, for once, it seems to do the right thing, because she's with Tolvin and they are with Bor Ifrim here, and she's explaining to Tolvin, but Bor Ifrim here, he can read minds, Tolvin, he can change minds, and he can wipe them. I have to forget everything I know about Vader and his plans. And of course, you know, Tolvin is
just trying to take it all in.
Yeah, she is. Cause she loves Aphra, you know, and as Aphra says, even then chances are it won't save me. He doesn't do loose ends. And this dialogue that we see in these, you know, speech boxes, you know, overlaying the damage that Vader is wreaking.
This is without a doubt so far the most dense issue of any single issue of any Star Wars comic that I've ever read. Thematically dense, action wise, there's so much going on, and emotionally, it's an emotionally dense book.
Yeah, the only Star Wars, modern Star Wars comic that comes close to this in terms of density on, and we mean that in a very good way.
Yes,
it's probably the Vader Down one shot.
I would believe that. Yeah,
not the accompanying tie-ins from the Darth Vader and Star Wars series, but the actual one shot. And we just continue on going, and Aphra is just laying it on the line here. But it's the only way to stop him delving, purging, searching for everyone I could have ever told his secret, everyone I like. And then you go to that next panel, and there's Tolvin. No, Aphra, no, there's still a chance. And she says it, then you cut to the next panel, and just more people are being sliced and diced. And she's, that little droid that nearly killed us. It's still out there. It'll slow him down. Perhaps even stop him. And then,
it won't.
Sir, come on. It won't.
And I love this panel where BT-1 has got every gun out and Vader just looks at him and says, you. And he says, bleep? I think BT-1 is finally scared.
Yes, exactly. BT-1 realizes that BT-1 has met BT-1's match.
Yes. And back and on course, board, Tolvin says, she agrees, I know it won't, but you're wrong, there is another way. But before we can find out what that is, we see Vader just obliterate BT-1. So now we know what astromech that was. It was destroyed on the cover.
Yes, now we do. And this is, wow, Tolvin, wipe my mind instead. What?
Yeah. Vader's... Because of me. Forget about you. Forget you. Make me forget you. No more leads to follow. Nobody to blame. But why would you? She goes, sloppy, You know why. And she finally admits it. Because I love you.
Aww.
And it's ruined my life.
Aww.
And we've all had that one person that we just couldn't. We didn't know how to quit. And it messed things up for a while. I feel this panel so much. I feel Tolvin so much. And she says, stop thinking about it and do it, you damn coward. That's an order. So, but it's not even that simple. Even if I wanted to, look, you already suspected I survived execution. You confirmed it when you called him. An amnesiac informant won't get me clear. I love it. She says, seriously, I'm sacrificing myself for you and you're nitpicking? No, it's just you don't know Vader like I do. But if I have any hope of getting out of this alive, then... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry. And I love this. Tolvin screaming when the boar takes hold. And then that black panel, forgetting's not enough, and it just drifts away.
Ugh.
And then I love it so precise, 11 minutes later. And why do you suppose it went with 11?
Why not?
I don't know. It's so precise. I love that. Rather than minutes later, but it's 11 minutes later. So that's, yeah. And he tells Tolvin to awaken. And before she can even say anything, he just throws her up to the ceiling. And he says, lie to me and you shall suffer. You will tell me what you know of Aphra. And she's watching this whole thing from three decks below.
I'm sorry.
And Tolvin, of course, says, I know her well. So
and then,
what happens? What did Aphra do with Tolvin?
Well, that's what we're going to find out here. And this right here is very brutal because, as we've always maintained, we just want Dr. Aphra to be happy. And she's now in tears. Sob. Don't kill her. Please don't kill her. Doctor!
Lopsit shows up out of nowhere.
Isn't it great?
The hub droid found you by homing in on the proximity charge. What are you watching?
Lopsit, what are you doing here?
And he's with me. Tam Pazla shows up, gun drawn. I'm Tam Pazla. Do hereby arrest you on the authority of the Mulvane Judiciary in the name of all that is good. You heartless, lying, cheating, partner-killing, fake prisoner-trading scum. And she says, who? And you turn the page, and there is so much emotion in this panel.
Who are you calling heartless? The emotion on this.
Even the lightsaber is emitting rage.
but not, but just, you know, wow. Right here, this page by Kev and by Mark, and these colors by Yava. Yowza.
This is probably the most honest moment we've seen Dr. Aphra provide. It's the only time she's ever been completely and utterly honest in front of anybody.
This is the first real glimpse of Dr. Aphra that we've had, I think, probably ever, where it did not involve self-preservation.
Yeah. And so they just, and I have in my notes, they just caught Aphra at the wrong time, because maybe she finally found her heart and it's being broken in front of her before her very eyes. And then, of course, in true Dr. Aphra fashion, the book, not the character, the lightsaber dies. And Lob says, I mean, what did you expect? Honestly, the old lightsaber's been covered in space mold a couple thousand years. And Tams is beautiful, defeated by the very object of her avarice. Truly, there's nothing sweeter than poetic justice. And then we hear a hymn beg to differ and a red eye behind him that looks familiar.
Oh my gosh, and
my favorite Triple Zero moment yet. Hello, I'm Triple Zero, human cyborg relations and atrocities. And I assure you, there's nothing sweeter than this.
And he is going full Wolverine on him.
Yes.
Tam is getting
full berserker.
All six blades here. And Lopsed is just staring like, ugh.
I know, the look on his face is hysterical, and Aphra's as well. She's looks like she's trying not to throw up. And then and just, I love that Lopsed just runs away.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's as fast as his legs will carry him. You know, dear doctor, oh, do stop squirting, you silly man. He is, in fact, correct about one thing. Your little projects do rather tend to come back at you. What a relentless parade of regret you must suffer.
Oh, it's brutal.
Oh, my God. And it doesn't stop. Hello, doctor, are you even listening to me? You know, it's dreadfully rude to ignore people, especially those who intend to softly scoop out your eyeballs. You might have at least the decency to tremble. I thought you were above all this traumatic shut-in nonsense. What are you watching here? For forgetting wasn't enough. And she goes back and she sees Tolvin. Aphra survived your execution. She hid from you for so long, and I helped her. I loved her, my lord. But she, oh.
You've met her, you know what she's like.
She double-crossed me, broke my heart, left me to die, and so I, please don't make, you will say it. I murdered her.
So that's what Aphra did.
Aha!
She made her believe that she murdered her. And again, this is that at the point where I read that, I was like, oh my God, that's when I said this has reached the level of Greek tragedy.
Oh, yes.
I did it for the Empire. It was the only thing, I was only trying to protect your secret, my lord. And he just drops her whomp. And he says, do not take me for a fool, Captain, to know all, you know all but nothing of my plans. Your feelings betray you. And she says, revenge, that's all it was. I cut her throat just for leaving me, and all it achieved was landing me here on this junk heap with her assassin droids on my tail. That's Audrey Matter. You summoned me only to save yourself. Disappointing. And there's Aphra just still, she's almost in like PTSD mode here, just repeating, forgetting me wasn't enough. And, of course, we had Triple Zero spelling it out for us because, you know, subtlety is not his strong suit. You altered her memories. And she, and Aphra is, she's trying to justify it to herself as much as anybody else. If she volunteered, he would have killed her anyway, and he would have kept coming for me regardless. And Tripp says, oh, my dear doctor, a noble sacrifice transmuted into a selfish new start, and all it cost was the guilt-addled doom of a lover. Just when I was starting to think I was tired of you. And then he tells her, do stop blubbing. It's no pleasure torturing people who are already miserable. And you've no one to blame but yourself. Always alone, always bloody-handed, but always alive. That's the life you chose, dear doctor. It's the life you deserve. Ouch. Harsh. Come on, Trip.
Just so brutal. This writing by Sai. This is, you know, I think from here on out, whenever we refer to Cy Spurrier in Star Wars, it's no longer sufficient just to say Cy Spurrier or Simon Spurrier. We are now to call him Cy Sophocles Spurrier.
I agree. I agree. Are we sure that's not what Cy is short for? Maybe it's Cy Sophocles? Yes, I would have no problem with that. You throw a mom in here and you got Oedipus all over the place. And Vader is leaving on his, from here we cut to Vader leaving on his shuttle, and the officer says, what should we do with the prisoner? Escort her to my chambers for further interrogation. She carries classified information, Major. You will not speak to her. You will not permit her to speak a single word. And he stops himself, though, when he says something is here. And just walks off and leaves him hanging. And then we cut to the force-imprinted hook spore, which is thawing. And Vader just says, await my return. And then this is great. Tolvin starts communicating by giving combat stealth signals. And he says, the one officer says, sir, she's using combat stealth signals to communicate. And he says, you heard the order, avert your eyes. But she's saying it's urgent, sir. She's asking if you always arrange your squad so close to the shuttle. And said, if I have to break the prisoner's fingers, it'll be you explaining it to Lord Vader. Now she just says, sloppy. I love this. And they all look up right as a bunch of rebel ships descend and just blow the tar out of everything.
And then some. My goodness.
Two X-Wings, a Y-Wing, an X-Wing. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yes.
It's so much fun.
And, you know, I don't know what that ship is toward the right-hand corner.
I don't either. It's the one that Sana is flying, so I'm assuming it's like maybe a part of her ship, like a scout ship off of hers.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
And so she's radioing back to General Syndulla, and evacuation of rebel forces from the planet Tifereb is complete.
Which is awesome, because that's what a Kresker is dropping toward.
Yeah, so we know that I'm glad that they were able to get everybody out. And she has no idea why the imps put a pause on the impact, but we figured we'd use it to our advantage. Even managed to pick up some Volt Cobra. Pick up the Volt Cobra so you can expect the repair bill real soon.
Yeah, because that's Sana's ship.
Yeah.
The Volt Cobra. So, and like this, well, what about Aphra? No sign so far, ma'am, but Tan Leader, you got incoming. Some sort of weird red light from, oh boy. And then now we go back.
When we think Vader couldn't be any more badass.
Well, he did this in Vader Down.
I know. But I forgot about it.
Now it's nice to see that it's in his repertoire. So
just tosses his saber up and just cuts X-Wing in two.
Wait, and then Vader. That's what Sana says, and then Hera says, "What did you say, Vader? Sana, do not engage. That's an order. We don't want another Vrogus Voss. Do not engage. Fly like the wind, and just pray." Pray he's not there for you. And of course that's referring to Vader Down. And then this whole double truck here, because this is where, you know, the Jedi infused fungus or spores, you know, justice, you know, and just envelops Vader. And he's, you know, and the way it's colored with that beautiful blue, you know, the force is light and light is the force. And Vader's just like, silence.
Just shuts it up, shuts it down. Says, you know nothing of the force. You're an echo, an urge without will. I destroy the darkness. No, you bore it.
Executor, send another shuttle. I have wasted enough time here. Do you still need holding facilities, my lord? Unnecessary. The prisoner is likely dead. You want us to send down a search squad, sir? No, there is a simpler way. Disengage the tractor emitter. A Kresker jail will continue on its course. Let it fall. And then we cut right here. General, Sana here. You're alive? Guess he wasn't here for us, huh? Listen, we found Aphra's pet, Imperial, but blast it. We got movement. They've restarted the drop. I'm sorry, man. We're out of time.
So, and this is where, to use Tolvin's favorite word, Vader gets a little sloppy to me. And then we've seen this several times where he hasn't confirmed someone's death.
No, and I think part of his hubris.
Well, you'd think, though, because that's the only way he survived is that Obi-Wan assumed he was dead and left him to die, but he didn't die. So you'd think maybe he would be a little more thorough.
Well, Vader's not known for, you know, learning very well from his experiences.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
So. So we're here. Aphra's gone, Sana says. And then that's where we cut to 000. Oh, how frightfully vexing. Some brute has dissected my ship. And, of course, he's dragging Aphra along. BT-1, BT-1, where
by
have
the
you
hair,
got to?
By the way, dragging her by the hair, it looks
not
like.
Not a nice droid.
Nope.
I'm sorry. I'm real sorry, Mr. Droid. I seen a few parts lying around. I think your astromech's destroyed, says Lopsat. But Posla's ship is still fine back here, so if you hurry, we can... I beg your pardon. I do so hate to be abrupt. But please believe me that I will shred your nervous system unless you answer promptly. What exactly do you mean, destroyed? And then, boom, lob set, surprising everybody, zaps 000.
Yeah, and Aphra's like, you saved me, how can I ever repay you? And he hits her with a stun gun.
Boom, knocks her down. And then we see a Kresker continuous fall, and then on one side, you know, we see, you know, the one fleet.
The rebel ship's leaving, and then...
And we see the asteroid field, and then we see what looks like something else leaving.
From the other side.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that looks like it's probably... Well, I don't know if it's the Superstar Destroyer, but that's where we get up there.
No, I assumed that it was Lopset, that it was the ship that Lopset and them are on.
That's kind of what I was thinking as well.
Because the Superstar Destroyer would be bigger.
Yeah, you're right. And great image here of watching a Kresker jail fall into the planet.
Yes, it's great because you see the planet just sort of imploding on itself, and we have some dialogue. You know, what authorization code accepted? What do you wish to add, sir?
Sir,
subject deceased. No further action. So he's assuming that Aphra is dead. And then just again, we have 8 hours later. Nowhere. So again, these very specific timelines, and I like it.
And just, you're awake. Be calm. Be calm. You're safe. In relative terms, that is. The Lopset, what the hell? That's not actually my name. See, I had a death sentence. Several, actually. So I became someone else.
As soon as he said that, I thought, where have I heard that before?
A tragedy. We're about to find out. A tragedy to hide a face as lovely as mine, and quite a trick. I'm not even a shapeshifter. What? Ever heard of a pleuroplague? Fascinating little beast, bioengineered. Only a few ever made. I stole one on Thant. Been wearing it since. Irony is, if Posla didn't get so angry at being lied to, he might have realized he had his man after all. Wow.
This
what
is
a
the
reveal.
Only part of the book that I thought might have gone too far. So Lopset this whole time has been Dr. Evazan wearing an octopus on his face. Right?
Dude, it's space fantasy.
But think about the sentence I just uttered. This is almost one M. Night Shyamalan twist too many for me. Almost. If what had come before it had not been so strong, I might have just yelled BS, shut the book, and walked away.
Well, you're not too far off the mark, because if you look at the next panel, there's Aphra going, you know, with the war.
Yeah. So then he starts monologuing. He says, you know, this droid's quite a piece of work. I've never seen such smart barriers to prevent moral reasoning. Maybe the closest there is to programmed evil. Call it research, call it madness, call it art. It's all the same to me. I must know more. And she's like, you said you were an electrician. And he said, multidisciplinary, I said. Though I prefer cyborganic artist. Case in point. And so... He's repaired 000. At first, I thought, wait, is he saying that he built 000?
No,
I remember
no.
Aphra was the one that did a lot of that.
Yeah, because you have to remember, you know, if you go all the way back to the first pages, you know, where we first introduced to Dr. Aphra, you know, that 000 is an ancient,
right,
and malevolent intellect, if you will.
And so Evazan says, "Well, my friend is here. Time to go. Wish I could stay for the show, but I have too much beauty to create, too much to learn." To risk another capture. And she says, what have you done? He says, oh, just what any reasonable scientist would do. I cut out my proximity bomb and put it in the evil droid. It's bonded to his personality core and any tampering and boom. Either of you dies, boom. And best of all, if you two lovebirds ever stray more than 20 meters apart, Aphra says, boom. So, but why would you do this? And he says, I told you, science, art, trying to plumb the depths of beauty and ugliness. Is monstrosity intrinsic or just something one picks up? And I love that he says that, and then the next panel is just a close-up on him, who he himself is kind of a monstrosity. And he says, something you said, in fact, got me thinking a bit of homespun wisdom from your mama. How did it go? Evil's just a measure of how much your choices take away other people's? A thesis worth testing, don't you think? And we see Ponda Baba show up, and he's, of course, already missing an arm.
I'm so happy to see him.
So that reminds us where this is in the timeline. And all that he calls him Ponda. Coming, Ponda, no pal, just fixing us up some entertainment while we lie low. And this is where he tells her that he's fixed 000's eyes to transmit everything they see to him. And he says he's set to auto boot in 1 minute, and you'll notice he's not restrained. I'm just dying to know what you'll say when he wakes up. He says, you see, Doc, I thought I was a monster. I thought I wrote the book on a horror among the stars, but you made me see I got a lot to learn. Way I figure it, you and your friend there, you deserve each other. And this is maybe the most heartbreaking panel I've seen in a comic book in a long time.
Yeah.
Aphra just crying her eyes out as Triple Zero wakes up, knowing he's going to go right at her when he wakes up.
It's, oof.
But it's I'm assuming she's going to be able to explain to him, hey, you kill me, boom. I kill you, boom. We stray too far apart, boom. Now, we know, obviously, that's not going to last. She'll find a way to disrupt it. But for the time being, this is just, like I said, this is where when I finished this, I was like, yeah, this is, I'm so depressed I can't even blink at this point. kudos to this creative team.
Isn't it great? This is, you know, this book just conceivably just gets better with every issue. And this arc, you know, this six-part story arc was just phenomenal.
This is literature. This is risen to the level of, which it's not hard for comics to do, but this truly, to me, has risen to the level of literature.
There's no argument there from me, my man. So none whatsoever. And I cannot tell you how much I am looking forward to the start of the next arc here.
I need a minute to breathe after this one. This was just, it took my breath away. I need a minute to catch my breath. And I'll say, if you're not reading this book and you want to wait a couple of months, pick up the trade. It's a wonderful purchase, well worth a purchase, but you're going to want to keep reading. So just be prepared to spend some more money on comics, because this is just amazing. Every issue of this has been great, and every issue has built upon the last, and it just culminated in this. What are the chances this wins any kind of Eisner Award?
You know, at the very least, it should be nominated. That's for darn sure. So,
because it's a single issue, at least.
Oh, definitely. And you know, you're not alone in your assessment. We actually got an email from a listener and friend of the show, Hector Rios Jr., who sent us a note, and I'm gonna read it here. Hey, Matt and Jeff, just finished reading Dr. Aphra number 25, and all I can say is, wow, what an ending! The whole Aphra keeps digging for herself, keeps getting bigger and bigger. Honestly, I don't see a happy ending for her at all. You know, at this point, neither do I.
I think she knows that.
Yeah, it's going to be even worse for her because, oof, it's just pretty devastating. So, and Hector also had a possible, you know, he weighed in on Darth Vader number 22. You know, our discussion from last week about Lord Moment. And, you know, because one of the things that we had mentioned and discussed was the possibility, you know, the rule of two when it comes to the Sith.
Right.
And he posits, and I quote, "I don't think there could be another Sith out there. The rule of two wouldn't allow it, right? Yes, we saw that Moment had acolytes like other Sith did. Ventress and Savage Opress are a couple of examples. But none were probably worthy of taking up the Sith mantle after Moment's death," and I'm doing air quotes. Moment said that he never took on an apprentice. What if the unnamed Jedi that was handling Moment's mask became his new apprentice? To me, it seemed like the Jedi was succumbing to the mask's influence. He looked hypnotized by it. What if Moment's mask turned this Jedi the dark side, allowing the Sith to live on through this new apprentice? Just a thought. Keep up the great work, guys. May the Force be with you. Hector in Burbank, California. So,
wow, yeah, some deep thoughts there, and he might be onto something.
That's actually, you know, that's the wrong choice of words. I shouldn't say actually. I think that's a fabulous idea.
I like that our listeners are smarter than I am. It makes it much more fun for me.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that.
Just smile and nod, Matt. Just smile and nod like everyone else in my life. But yeah, Dr. Aphra, this story arc especially, it's like an entire book that's the sixth season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Remember, season six was when she just kind of went off the deep end and it got super, super dark.
Oh, yeah.
And she realized there's no happy ending for me. And that's kind of what this entire book has reminded me of. And I love it. But I'm glad it's only one issue a month, sometimes two, because too much of that would be a bit much. But it's such good writing, and I think it the fact that this character has captured the imagination of every comic book reader, and even I think some people who don't read comics, enough that she's getting her own action figures, I think is a testament to the creative teams that have been creating this character month after month after month. So, but yeah, I think our friend in Burbank is definitely onto something there, and we appreciate the emails from all of our listeners. We love interacting with you on Twitter and Facebook and via email, so keep those coming.
Yeah, please do. Please do. And again, from now on, it's no longer Cy Spurrier. It is now Sophocles Spurrier.
Yes. Sophocles Spurrier.
Or Euripides. Or we will also accept Euripides Spurrier.
Or even Aeschylus, I think he would be okay with.
Oh, wow. Look at you, man. Dropping the knowledge you claim not to have.
I do have a degree in theater.
Oh, that is true. Yes. That's true. Can't argue with that.
So I know we don't have any books coming out next week. Do we have any other announcements?
No, we have books coming out. You know, we don't have any books from Marvel coming out next week.
Oh, right.
We do have Star Wars Adventures number 15, and of course Tales from Vader's Castle number 5. So we will definitely be discussing Vader's Castle number 5. That'll be a good one. Looking out toward November. I can't believe it's already almost November.
I know, right? October flew by.
It did, didn't it? Wow. And it seems that we're going to be, you know, catching up, I guess, for not having any Marvel books on the 31st. But on November 7th, Wednesday, November 7th,
we have Star Wars. Which is my birthday, by the way.
Yay! Hot dog. I'll have to get you something.
No, you don't. Your presence is my present.
Aw, you're so sweet. So, yeah, we get Star Wars 56 and Han Solo Imperial Cadet number 1.
That's my birthday present right there.
And then we also get IDW is reprinting the Destroyer Down loot crate exclusive into a three-part miniseries. So that the first issue of that comes out. But it should be interesting.
Awesome.
So looking forward to it.
And do you have any other podcast ventures that we can promote for this next week? Is there any new comic book news? I know the last one that came out was, not Mr. Miracle.
No, it was Misty Knight and Typhoid Mary.
And what are they from?
Well, Misty Knight is from Luke Cage and Iron Fist. And Typhoid Mary is also from Iron Fist. And both Typhoid Mary and Misty Knight in the comics are very closely tied to the Daredevil comics. So we discussed the role of those two characters in the Marvel's Netflix universe and how they compare it and contrast to their characters in Marvel comics.
Okay, awesome.
And yeah, then I believe our next subject is going to be Sabrina, of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Nice.
Which will be a whole lot of fun.
Yes. Excellent.
Oh, very much so.
Well, over on Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff at Marvin Dog Media, we have our action figure exclusive this week is one of my favorite figures, Skiff Guard Lando, which I'm pretty sure was the first Kenner figure to have a removable helmet.
And so we kind of think, you know, I think you're right.
I think so. It was Return of the Jedi. I started really getting into that sort of thing. So Taylor and I had a good time discussing that. And that's, again, over at marvin.media.com. Geek Supreme is off this week. But if you missed our Halloween episode from last week, which I also missed out on, that is still up and available. And it should be a lot of fun.
It is. It is, actually. I listened to it. You'll enjoy it a lot.
And if you want to go back and listen to last year's, you can hear a really cool ghost story that I told that creeped everybody out. Scott added some wonderful sound effects to it. And, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Comics with Kenobi. Matt, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And to the listener, thank you for listening. Listeners, I should say.
Apparently, we do have, at least we are in double digits now when it comes to listeners.
Excellent. Good to know.
Yes. Small steps.
It's always nice when our listenership at least equals my IQ. Until then, until next time, for Comics with Kenobi, I'm Jeff.
I'm Matt.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
Comics with Kenobi's theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy.
Bud, stop peeing!